Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
This is probably one of our oldest guns in the shop.
This is what EWG Guns and Loomis is known for.
This is a Manton rifle.
Historical firearms. The walls and shelves lined with guns that are over 100 years old. But now, in the age of the coronavirus, buyers are targeting newer weapons.
Instead of the collector, now we're looking for the people who are just genuinely concerned about defense.
Owner Ed Gilbert says business is booming. Last month was his busiest in over 3 years. In April alone, he sold the equivalent of 6 months' worth of guns. Most of those people buying for the first time.
I would say, honestly, that probably 95% of our sales in the last month have been to new gun owners.
Fear during the pandemic, triggering people to buy.
It's like the night before an exam. Everybody's cramming into the gun stores, trying to figure out what they need, how to buy it.
What's telling is the most popular gun he's sold, Glock handguns, so much so that he's run out.
We've got one Springfield XD, we have one Beretta PX4.
And it isn't just Placer County that's seeing record gun sales. The FBI ran 3.7 million background checks in March. That's the most ever since the system launched, and a million more than the same time last year.
Those background checks translate to nearly 2.6 million guns sold in March. That's according to the consulting firm Small Arms Analytics and Forecasting.
We need three things as human beings. We need sustenance, shelter, and security. If you don't have security, you don't get to keep the first two.
But Gilbert also says owning a gun isn't for everyone. He's pointed some people to pepper spray, tasers, or stun guns instead.
We have denied purchases. We do have a huge responsibility here. It's not just to sell guns. It's to arm and educate.
A novel virus sparking people to new methods of protection. In Loomis, Marley Martinez, KCRA 3 News.
We've sorted out those technical difficulties, and now we have Emily Jones of Georgia Public Broadcasting back on the line to talk about community reaction to that shooting back in February. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Ari.
First, just tell us what happened when that shooting took place.
So Ahmaud Arbery was running down a residential street near Brunswick, Georgia, and two men who were a father and son, Gregory and Travis McMichael, confronted him. They were in a pickup truck, and they claimed there had been some recent robberies and that Arbery had shown up on security footage in the neighborhood. So the McMichaels saw him running. They got their guns and confronted him while he was exercising. Travis McMichael and Arbery fought, and then Travis's shotgun went off. The McMichaels say they were making a citizen's arrest, but friends and family say that doesn't really make sense, that Arbery was just jogging. And we should point out that it's somewhat similar to the Trayvon Martin killing in Florida back in 2012. In that case, a 17-year-old African-American was shot and killed by a neighborhood watch volunteer, George Zimmerman. And Zimmerman said Martin was acting suspiciously and they got into a confrontation. Zimmerman killed Martin and he claimed self-defense, similar to this case.
This all happened back in February. What's the status of the investigation today?
Well, the district attorney has now asked state law enforcement authorities to investigate, and he also says he'll take the case before a grand jury. This DA, though, is actually the third one involved in the case. The first one almost immediately cited a conflict of interest because Gregory McMichael, the father, was an investigator for more than 20 years in that Brunswick DA office. And then the next DA who was assigned also removed himself at the family's request because his son worked in the same Brunswick DA's office. So even though the shooting happened back in February, there still haven't been any arrests, charges, and there's really mounting frustration and anger in the community about it.
And what's the family saying?
So the family spoke today. Sorry, the family spoke today along with their lawyers, and the lawyers are basically saying that because Gregory McMichael worked in law enforcement in the county for so long, basically the whole system is compromised and the feds should step in.
How is the coronavirus pandemic affecting the investigation?
The biggest impact is on the grand jury. We're under a judicial state of emergency here in Georgia, so a jury can't be impaneled at least until June, and we don't know when that'll happen. And I think we probably would have probably seen protests earlier as well if people weren't afraid to gather in big groups.
That's Emily Jones, Savannah Bureau Chief of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thank you for your reporting.
You're welcome.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, May 6, 2020. So I have been told. We will be here tomorrow. That is Thursday. Dr. Layla O. Africa. The Nutritional Destruction of Black People, also titled Nutricide, our fifth installment, same program time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, tomorrow. That would be Thursday. Tune in. We're still relatively early. I guess we've read like a quarter of the book so far. We'll keep rolling. It is still in the running for worst book ever. But we will, you know, see what the next installment holds. We should be here Friday for Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Again, massive adjustments with the pandemic and safety precautions. That has been a big deal. Hazard pay. Lots that they had a massive report just talking about hazard pay for essential workers and all of that. We'll probably review some of that for this coming Thursday as well. We should be here this coming Saturday for the compensatory call-in, normal broadcast time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then this time, not this time next week, this time next Tuesday, a week from yesterday, next Tuesday, we should have a returning guest, Toyin Agbetu, black male. He's in London. He was on the program back in 2011. Talking about white supremacy, racism as a global system. He's been writing, talking about racism and the current health pandemic, talking about some of the same issues that I just mentioned that we've been talking about in the UK. Essential workers, seems like they got a substantial number of dark people who are being piled up as so-called essential workers. And whether or not they get hazard pay and protective gear seems like some of the exact same issues. Non-white people being disproportionately impacted. He was talking about that as well. Again, thought it would be informative to hear from different non-white people in different parts of the world about this, just so that we can get more information, make better choices, have a better grasp of what's happening. He should be here next Tuesday. It'll be 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right? So London, 8-hour time difference from Seattle to London. So to try to make it reasonable, because if we did it at normal broadcast time, it would be like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that, for Toyin to get back on the broadcast with us. So it'll be a little bit earlier. I tried to see if I could scooch it down a little bit so that folks, if you are working or, you know, otherwise occupied in the daytime, it'll be a little bit later. But at least you have advance notice that it'll be happening next Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. We'll check in, hear what's going down in the UK. Let's see. Other news items to get to. So I talked about the retreats over the past weekend on the compensatory call-in. I already mentioned, obviously, we had to cancel the Toronto retreat. Border is still closed and looks like it's going to be closed for a while. They said it'll be closed, I believe, at least until the end of the month. And then they said that it most assuredly will not reopen, that they're just going to extend the closure for another unspecified amount of time. So Toronto became unfeasible quickly. Washington, D.C., however, we were talking about that the whole time, August 5th through the 9th. All of this obviously contingent on, you know, the coronavirus cooperating and things not being shut down, travel being allowed, it being safe to go. But we had listeners who were already registered, signed up to go, and or people who wanted to go anyway, wanted to go to Toronto. That got canceled. So and at the end, really the conclusion of all this, a major motivating factor beyond people saying that they, you know, wanted to participate, but changing our diet, getting some exercise, that's been talked about quite a bit during this whole health crisis, and really putting a value, a priority on our health. That is at the core of these retreats. And I know I've posted a lot of my vegan treats, what I've been cooking since March, the crisis started, and plant-based meals, lots of different things. I think I had chickpea pot pie, so not chicken pot pie, chickpea pot pie this week, eggplant parmesan, and pizza with all veggies, lasagna, different ways, lasagna made in the oven, the regular way, and then stovetop lasagna, lots of different things that I've been making over the past month or so, plant-based options where you can eat and have really enjoyable food, right? Like, I hadn't had pot pie in years, you know, and would not have been excited about it. Would have been thinking, like, you know, frozen TV dinner type thing. I didn't even know people made pot pie from scratch, but you can have it. Doesn't have to have chicken. You can make it really tasty. Can have veggies. It doesn't have to just be carrots and peas. I had pot pie with broccoli, zucchini, mushrooms. I did put carrots in it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I didn't put the peas in it. But I mean, you can really make it tasty and flavorful, delicious from scratch. Crust was flaky. I put pictures up on social media, like, was really amazing. But that's at the core of the retreats. That's why doing it and, you know, being about health. So we will see how things look in August. August 5th through the 9th, those are the dates, not changing. Information is on the blog. Just updating the deadline because I was a little flummoxed with the whole crisis and all that. But going to see if we can persevere and make Washington, D.C. happen. Counter-racist retreat, August 5th through the 9th. So if we have enough folks who are down to participate, we will do it up in the nation's capital this summer. We'll be right in. Hey, maybe by then, things have calmed down. It's safe. We can come out. Folks will be ready to get out and have some tasty eats, do some yoga, get some exercise in, and see what the heck is going down in Washington, D.C. this summer. Drop an email if you need more information. Looking forward to getting out. If white people permit, if not, we will cancel same way we did with the retreat in Toronto. Let's see. Other than that, remind folks, because we've had so many folks who've been generous throughout and invested, nabbed items from our wish list. Invest if you think the cows is constructive, and that is certainly important during this crisis situation, I would say, global crisis situation globally. We should not be wasting time, energy, resources during this period. Shouldn't even be listening to the cows, much less investing, supporting, sharing. That's another way you can invest. Share the broadcast, put it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, help other if you think it would benefit other non-white people in a time of crisis to hear the context of white supremacy counter-racist content. But sharing, you can certainly invest that way. You can hit the blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. You'll see information for the Washington, D.C. retreat. And then also, if you look in the top right corner, PayPal button, also on Cash App, Cash App, the address, cashapp.com/thecows. Much obliged to all the folks who have supported. If you are not into all of the new high-fangled, high-tech gadgetry, you can drop an email. We can supply a physical mailing address. Whew, man, hopefully I'll be able to check the mail without being ambushed and killed. But we can supply a physical mailing address if you prefer to support that way. Again, huge thanks to all the folks who have invested and kept the cows rolling for, is it 11 and a half years at this point? You can also support via our wish list at Amazon.com. Have got a number of items even during the coronavirus lockdown. Got my cast iron pots. New water pitcher. It's been great. Much obliged again. Hope the cows has been, continues to be worthy of your time and energy, especially so given the emergency that we are facing. That's it. Before I get to my situation, just the power of white supremacy racism. I know many folks, or I know it seems that a lot of cows listeners are essential workers, so they have not been at home with their feet propped up, just watching things on Netflix and baking and, you know, telecommuting, as they call it. That has not been many non-white people all over the world, apparently. For a number of whites and some victims, too, apparently, that has been their reality for about the last, I don't know, month and a half, going on 2 months, just chilling at the house and complaining that they can't go outside, being mad, maybe protesting or wanting to go join the protesters so we can get back outside. Amongst the things that folks have been doing is watching a lot of Netflix TV, the documentary series on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls from the 1990s, The Last Dance. 10-part series, I guess they're about halfway through. I told folks, or I shared on social media, that I found accidentally a link that had the first 8 episodes. At the time that I shared it, they had only aired the first 4 episodes. So you could get way ahead. At this point, they still only aired the first 6 episodes. So the link, you can get ahead. You can see the episodes that they're going to air this weekend if you so choose. This past weekend, the episode, they talked about some of Michael Jordan's gambling habits. It's widely known he's confessed to being a big time gambler, and he's a billionaire, has had lots, whites have allowed him to have lots and lots of nickels for many, many decades now. So he's someone who apparently, many rumors and his own testimony, you know, will wager and gamble quite a bit, you know. $100,000, $50,000, no big deal to go in and gamble that amount of money because he's, you know, billionaire at this point. So they cover that in the documentary where he faced all these really big allegations in the midst, like in the prime of his career, faced all of these allegations. You know, are you a gambler? You've been gambling on games and all that. Like there was even suspicion that he was, that he didn't retire in 1993, that he was in fact suspended, that this was punishment for his gambling behavior. He had done something wayward. And so they flesh this out. They spend a good bit of time about all this in the documentary. And they reveal that Michael Jordan signed a check to cover a $57,000 loan to a black male named Slim Bowler. And they show this black male in the film. And they show him when he's going to trial. They have, you know, when they do the sketch artist and they show him walking to the courtroom and everything. They show him going to the trial. And Michael Jordan ends up having to come and testify. Mr. Slim Bowler, he is on trial. Suspicion of peddling drugs and some other, I think, like money laundering and some other lesser crimes. But the big one is, you know, suspicion of selling drugs. And so Michael Jordan is subpoenaed to testify at this trial in 1993. And in fact, they even give more details about this Slim Bowler figure that apparently Michael Jordan, as opposed to going to the White House to visit George H.W. Bush, the late, with the Chicago Bulls team, which you normally do, right? If you win the championship, they had all that fury about current teams not wanting to go because President Trump's there. Remember that with Steph Curry and the Warriors? Michael Jordan said, I'm not going to go. Not because he's protesting George H.W. or anything like that. He doesn't want to go. He says it's to spend time with his family, but it's really to go so he can gamble with Slim Bowler. So at the trial, Michael Jordan's there, and they got a sketch artist of him being on trial on the witness stand, and he says that he wrote this $57,000 check to cover a gambling debt to Slim Bowler. It was embarrassing and blah, blah, blah. So they include all that there. I contrast, Dr. Welsing talks about this, contrast. Now, they spent all this time, and this was big. This was major. Folks who were alive, if you paid attention to Michael Jordan basketball at all, this was enormous. Like, they were talking about this in the middle of the finals. Like, this is huge. Like, accusing, I don't even know what would be to compare. If you could imagine, like, it would have to be like LeBron James or Stephen Curry, like the best basketball player in the world, and they're at the championship, at the finals, and being accused of gambling on it. Are you betting on games? And all of it, like, that's the first thing that they want to talk about. That would be the way that you would have to imagine it, like how big a, you know, scandal this was at the time. But they include all of that in the documentary, and you can see Slim Bowler and all that, his courtroom sketches, this black male who's suspected drug peddler. They do not, in this 10-part documentary, 10 hours, it's longer than the O.J. Simpson documentary that ESPN released. This is also an ESPN product. They do not have Craig Hodges. Who is Craig Hodges, you might say? Craig Hodges was an NBA champion, two-time NBA championship teammate of Michael Jordan. He played on the very Chicago Bulls teams. Now, they don't have every teammate. They don't have every single person who played on the teams with Michael Jordan, I don't think. But they have a lot of them in this documentary. Even some people who didn't play with Michael Jordan are in it. But he played with him for years, was drafted. I don't know if he was drafted by the Bulls, but he played with them for quite some time, like a number of years. Like I said, he won multiple championships and won multiple three-point championships at the three-point contest for NBA All-Star Weekend. Craig Hodges, nowhere to be found in the documentary. Craig Hodges on the championship team. You're supposed to go to the White House. Craig Hodges doesn't go to the White House either. Is he out gambling with Slim Bowler? No. Protesting racism, white supremacy. And in fact, Craig Hodges said he was on the 91 championship team. They faced Magic Johnson in the finals. Bulls beat them. He said that he approached Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson in 1991. If your memory's good, or if you are a student of history, if you were alive, Rodney King beating was that year. The trial was the next summer, 1990, or next spring, 1992. But Rodney King beating was in March of 1991. The playoffs for the NBA start in April. The finals are in June, early June. Craig Hodges says that he goes to Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and says, hey, we should boycott the NBA Finals, the Rodney King situation, and to call attention, we should boycott the Finals. And he says, you know, they're not feeling it. I'm like, that's extremist. You know, you're sounding kind of militant. I don't know. We don't want to do all that. And he says, fine. And he goes into more detail. He's done a number of interviews, but Craig Hodges is known for talking about white supremacy racism for quite some time. And Craig Hodges, they talk about Colin Kaepernick, Craig Hodges being blackballed from the league, that he could still play, and it was because he was outspoken and talking about racism, white supremacy, and articulating, hey, you know, forget Slim Bowler. I'm not about gambling. I'm about replacing white supremacy with justice and talking about real politics. In fact, he even said that his understanding and study of sports history, Jerry West, the frickin' logo, drafted Kobe Bryant. Jerry frickin' West, suspected race soldier. that Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, victim of racism, Jerry West is a black male, who was a victim of Donald Sterling. He's in the lawsuit, if you check. Elgin Baylor, who said he was victimized and Donald Sterling messed him over. Go back, you can just go read. There are many reports. Elgin Baylor talking about Donald Sterling as a racist. Anyway, but Craig Hodges, he says that his memory is from one of the All-Star games from the late 1960s, I believe 69, where Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, they were going to protest over racism, white supremacy, and how the players were being treated and which hotel they were going to stay at, that they were going to protest the All-Star game to make sure that they had the league's attention, that racism is not acceptable. He said, that's my understanding in the history of the game. Jerry West, the frickin' logo, protesting racism, white supremacy. Mr. Craig Hodges. I'm going to see if we can get him as a guest on the program. But yeah, he had a lot to say about racism, but he is not, unless I've been misinformed. Half of it hasn't been released, so maybe they saved him for the grand finale and he's going to burst out and talk about his experience. But no interviews from Craig Hodges. Quite a bit of time on Slim Bowler. We are comfortable presenting, projecting black people as criminals. Not comfortable presenting, talking about black people as victims of racism, white supremacy, who are attempting to solve that problem. Anywho, just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out. Alrighty, so this broadcast, the whole reason for it, titled Checking Mail, Checking the Mailbox While Black. Accurate title, Checking the Mailbox Under White Supremacy. That is the accurate title. It's cliche and it's short. They have all of these little hashtags and catchphrases. Jogging while black, Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, and lots of shopping while black, jogging while black. They got lots of these. Driving while black, on and on and on and on and on. Swimming while black. It's all of that is jogging under white supremacy racism. The focus is on white people practicing racism, white supremacy. It's shopping under white supremacy racism, checking the mailbox under white supremacy racism. It's jogging under white supremacy racism. There is no problem at all with me having melanin. The problem is not with me being classified as black. The problem, the sickness, as Mr. Andrew Young said, is white supremacy racism, white people. Make sure that that is accurate, correct, and explicitly stated. The correct title is Checking the Mailbox Under White Supremacy. Now, getting to the details and, you know, why all of this is important. I hope people's memory is good enough they can recall the audio segments from the beginning. The surging gun sales. There have been many of those reports. We played a whole bunch of them here at the context of white supremacy over the last month and a half since the so-called health crisis began and white people saying, oh, I got to have the toilet paper and guns. I don't know what that connection is, but toilet paper and guns surging. Can't have enough of them. Not that they didn't have guns already, right? It's not like all of the guns that they bought when that no-count Negro Obama was president. It's not like they all rusted and broke and are malfunctioning, right? Like they were buying guns right up until Trump got to the White House in 2017. So it's not like, you know, they haven't cleaned and oiled their firearms over the last 2 years, 3 years. I don't think that's the case. I could be in error. They brag about cleaning them. We went to the gun range in Florida. They brag about keeping the weapons clean. Anyway, but there have been lots of those reports. New gun owners, lots of, even some of them where they said they're a little nervous about some of these folks. First time gun owners, like, wow, could be dangerous. Could be some domestic violence, all kinds of things. You even heard that in the audio. They said they have discouraged some folks. I don't know. You should get pepper spray maybe. I don't know. Maybe you don't need a firearm. Then they come back with the second report talking about Ahmaud Arbery, black male out jogging and ends up dead at the hands of race soldiers. No badge. Citizen's arrest, they call it. little current context for why this is significant, because I had said I was going to write about it, but I said, you know, there should probably be a program. I was going to talk about it on the compensatory call-in, but so this is probably worthy of, you know, enough time because things are dangerous. I mean, when Andrew Young says the sickness is white supremacy, really think on that. Take that seriously. Man, I go out, this is on Sunday, I go out to check the mailbox. I've been to the grocery store. I have packages, groceries in my hand. And not that I'm looking for any brownie points or anything, but I mean, I really look like a Seattle-like grocery shopper. I have my reusable shopping bag and everything, right? Like, I don't just look like I'm out, you know, plastic bag and all the rest. Like, I have my shopping bag and all of that. Important tidbit I definitely will not say my. The current residence where I'm allowed to stay, the mailbox is not like directly on the house, right? So the house is fenced, and then the mailbox is outside the fence, right? Makes it easy for the mail carrier. They can just drive and boop, drop it right in the box. Some people don't like having people come all the way onto the property and molest the house that way. I guess it's preference. I've had both at different locations where I've resided over the years. But that's the setup at this particular residence. Mailbox is outside of the fenced gate. And it is, it does have a key. It's key lock. So I'm outside the gate, right, at the road, with the key, not a crowbar, not a screwdriver, not a chisel. I have a key, and I have been at this residence for the past year. It's been a year since the flood, since I was able to move back. So I've been here for 1 year, right? It's not like I've, you know, just been here for a couple weeks or a month. I've been here. I've been checking the mail with a key, not a crowbar or a chisel. For a year. So I'm bent over. I am getting parcels out of the mailbox. I set my grocery bag on top of the mailbox and set the mail in. It was quite a bit of mail. I hadn't checked the mail in a while, and I was kind of surprised because quite a bit had arrived. So I'm taking things out and putting them in my grocery bag. All of a sudden, and it's light outside too, make sure I give context. It's like early evening, we'll say 7 o'clock, we'll say. And out here, it's still really bright now. It's May, so sun is still out, you know, early evening. So I'm getting parcels out of the mailbox. Vehicle rolls up, black vehicle, black Jeep, SUV. And a white guy hops out of the vehicle. He's wearing black clothing and he's got his phone in hand. He hops out. He doesn't, you know, give a name, who he is, where do you live. Like, there is no friendliness at all. None of that, you know, hey, your neighbor, how you doing? Isn't the Rona crazy? You got a mask? None of that. It's phone out. Hey, fella, what are you doing? Do you live around here? Where are you going? Is that your mailbox? I'm just like, whoa. I'm thinking I've got my groceries. I'm thinking about what, you know, meal I'm going to cook. I got eggplant, like do it up, eggplant parmesan. Like I've only had that one time in the last 10 years, like poop, poop, poop. And then, whoa. And so he, you know, like I said, he's got his phone out and he's, you know, boom, boom, boom. Where do you live? What are you doing? Who are you? You around here? You from around here? And so I'm just like, whoa. I look at him. I look at the car. Now, like I said, this is a black SUV. They do have, in the Seattle area, they do have unmarked black SUVs. Enforcement officials have unmarked black SUVs, so it is possible. This could be an enforcement officer, but, you know, there are no lights, no siren. He's not dressed in uniform of an enforcement officer or anything. He's got on, like, black shorts, a black T-shirt. I think he had a hat on, but nothing that would identify him as an enforcement officer, right? Just looks like a normal civilian. Great soldier, but civilian. So I look at him And I take a few seconds. I make my assessment. I don't say anything. I say I'm going to ignore. So I turn back and I continue, you know, getting packages out of the mailbox. And so he's still standing there. He's got his phone. And I'd say distance wise, he's probably about, we're not social, or he is not social distancing. I'd say he's probably maybe 4 feet. Maybe 4 feet. So after I ignore him, after he's, you know, got his first barrage of questions, he says, we've had some break-ins in the neighborhood and I'm trying to make sure that everything's safe. Everything is okay. Like I said, do you live here? Where are you from? And so I look at him again and I pause and I say, so call the police. Now, I don't say this is the best way to deal with the situation. Certainly, there are countless, indefinite number of examples of where the enforcement officials arriving does not improve a situation for black people, non-white people. I don't say that in this situation, if the enforcement officials had arrived, it would have been any better. It could have been way worse. I could have been tased, shot, arrested, anything. They could have been his brothers, sisters, anything. So I certainly don't say that, you know, that would have made anything better. But my thought process was following logic. If you think there is a crime happening, you should call the police. I'm a criminal. I'm out looting mailboxes. You know, I've got a crow. Again, I had a key, not a crowbar, but I'm out jimmying mailboxes open or whatever it is. Call the police. Following logic. Like, I'm not going to have a discussion with you. I'm not answering any of your questions. We're not doing random interrogation from a race soldier. That's your conclusion that I'm some outlaw out here on a Sunday afternoon stealing packages. Call the police. So this is where things changed drastically. As I said, he was very hostile. There was no, hey, I'm Bob. Welcome to the neighborhood. I bought you some fried chicken, Dean and mask. None of that. You know, like, I live over here and isn't this crazy? And are you enjoying it? None of that. It was all, what are you doing? Where are you going? How'd you get that box open? All of that dropped once I said, call the police. Then it was, no. See, I'm just trying to keep everything safe. You see, I didn't mean anything. Just, you know, we've been having a lot of break-ins in the neighborhood. You see, that's all. You see. So at this point, after I said, call the police, I continue checking them. But didn't say anything else. I'm checking the mailbox. I bend over. Make sure I got everything. I close the mailbox, lock it back with the key, grab my groceries, packages. This is, oh man, I'm just looking out for your safety. Looking out for my safety. I'm looking out for you, man. You know, we've had a whole lot of break-ins in the neighborhood. Don't you know that? We've had a whole lot of crime, man. It's crazy. I'm looking out for you. I said, are you an enforcement officer? Where do you live? What's your name? Do you have any identification? Now I'm in the question lane. He doesn't answer any of my questions. Not, oh, I'm in the neighborhood safety, you know, association. We have meetings every Thursday. You should come by once the Rona's all over. We bring in coffee and cakes and talk about safety and any random Negro hooligans trying to rape and steal from the mailboxes. Come on. None of that. Again, no, I'm Todd. I'm so sorry about this. My name's, you know, Thad Richards, and I've been living in this area for, you know, 10 years. Seattle is my favorite plantation. None of that. He puts his phone away. He backs up. I didn't mean anything, man. I didn't mean anything. I was just looking out for your safety, man. I didn't mean it that way. And he gets in his SUV. At that point, I remember, oh, wait a minute. You're not a Neanderthal. You have a phone.
I whip out my phone. Bam, start taking pictures, get his SUV, move around so that I can get his license. I certainly do not say that that is the best strategy, because I think I've said on this program before, a number of times, in fact, not just once, there are a lot of different illustrations of where something like this, where it's random, where you're just out jogging, walking, selling water, drinking water, anything, just existing in the system of white supremacy, and some race soldier comes up, what are you doing? Where are you going? And all of that, whipping out that phone, it can escalate the situation. I have seen that sometimes. I'm specifically thinking that situation in Chicago. It was a race soldier, white woman. I think it was a whole family. It wasn't even just one black person, but she was coming up. She was having one. I think it started with her interaction with a black male. She called him a nigger and cursed at him, all of this other violent verbal assault. And then she spit on him. And I think that was after he had his phone out. Like, he pulled his phone out when it started. And she's like, you know, I don't care. Videotape me. I don't care about that nigger. Who do you think you are? And then, boom, she spits on him and all the rest of it. He got all that on camera. Now, the police did eventually get involved. They arrested her. And I believe she even got prosecuted with that case. I remember us following it. That was like 2015 or so, if my memory is correct. But there are a number of instances where pulling out the phone did not de-escalate the race soldier in question. Just got further enraged. Like, how dare you, you know, record me? Who do you think you are? We got an uppity nigra here with some technology is going to try and record me and all the rest of it. So that might not necessarily be the best strategy. But I did want to try to take pictures because I had never seen this guy. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know if he was an enforcement officer. Are you just a random racist? Do you live around here? Are you just driving through? Like, you know, I didn't know anything. So I thought that was a good idea to get pictures, even though I did feel like there was a slight risk. Anyway, so I started taking pictures and he said, excuse me, sir. I'm going to back out now. I'm going to leave. Sorry. He takes, he backs out, leaves, never see him again. No, I know, again, I've been around white people. I've seen when they make an error or they do something wrong, like no Starbucks gift card in the mailbox. I'm so sorry, friend. We got off on the wrong foot. He could have even put a KFC gift card in the mailbox. I'm so sorry, friend. Have a few drumsticks on me. We got off on the wrong foot. Let's do better. Come, we got the neighborhood meeting. Come by, we'll have a fresh batch of fried chicken for you. Let's be friends, brother. None of that. Now, I say all this in terms of importance beyond, you know, oh man, Gus had a little tacky Sunday. He ruined, you know, me being able to come in and do my eggplant parmesan, which did not happen. I still came in and had great eggplant. But I say all this over the past, since this, you know, whole crisis started, I have been saying, at the end, I normally, you know, sobriety would be best. Bah, bah, bah. If you're going to be driving, passenger, driver, buckle up. I've been saying, like, pause. It should be real strategic going outside. Now, I just went to check the mailbox. Technically, I didn't go anywhere. And all this happened. I've been saying that because my conclusion, this, not that I needed the mailbox incident to solidify, but my conclusion before that was, wow, what am I seeing? What have I been seeing every day for the past 2 months almost? I've been seeing reports, just what we started with, white people buying lots of guns, which is nothing new, but another surge of white people getting lots of guns and saying that they're afraid. I don't know, somebody is coming to steal my toilet paper, rape my daughter. I don't know. Might have to shoot the Rona, whatever the excuse is. But I got to get more guns and more ammunition. They said that too. Record sales of ammunition. White people out with their guns protesting. They're mad. Protesting in Michigan, protesting in California, you're not going to close the beaches. Protesting in South Carolina, you're not going to close the gun shops. You're not going to close my business. You're not going to tell me to stay in the house. I'm mad. You know, I can't pay my bills. Can't support my family. Now, some of this, I think, is just a lie, because some of this has just been them saying, I don't think you have a right to tell. I'm a white man. I'm a white woman. I don't care about the Rona. You don't have a right to tell me what to do. You don't have a right to tell me I have to stay in my house. You don't have a right to tell me I have to close my business. I think a lot of it has been that, not I'm struggling and I can't afford a can of corn, and I'm going to be poor and broke forever if you don't open things back up right now. I'm sure that's some white people, but I suspect a whole lot. Same thing I said with the toilet paper. They're out hoarding toilet paper. It's not that they don't have toilet paper. It's not that they don't have guns. I already have all this stuff piled up. We're in a system of white supremacy. They just, I want to do what I want to do. You're not the boss of me. I can go out and do what I want. This is my plantation. With that environment where you have a significant number of white people who are angry, anxious, they're upset. You do have some white people who are, you know, my business, I'm concerned, or my job, I'm concerned, finances. Absolutely. You do have some, and the more this goes on, I'm sure you'll have a growing number of white people who are in that group. At the underlying theme of all of that, what Andrew Young said, the sickness is white supremacy. This is a culture worldwide where they joke about violence against black people. Isn't that a lot of the racist jokes that we analyze on this program? Mentioned President Obama, they had a ton when he was president. Most of them were about violence, enjoying and having fun practicing violence against black people. What was one of the ones? What do President Obama and an apple have in common? Both look good hanging from a tree. Heard that one? They had a bunch of them. But violence against black people, that being funny and encouraged in a system of racism. So now you get an environment now for 2 months. You've had white people where they're riled up, they're upset, they're cooped in the house. They've been having all those reports about domestic violence, alcoholism, lots of those reports about this because people are stressed and the anxiety of being isolated and you don't get to be around people and having your normal routine disrupted. Dr. Rasayan, I talked to him this week about that. He was saying the same thing, like just the anxiety of being able to, you can't go to the store reliably anymore and think that they're going to have toilet paper or hand sanitizer or paper towels, things that you would normally take for granted, that's not there. And forget that, you might not even be able to get in the store. They got lines and all of that disruption to homeostasis and how things normally are. And then it's unending. You don't know how long it's going to last. You get frustrated. You get angry. You get a whole lot of race soldiers. How do I take out my frustration, my anxiety? What makes me feel like a man? What makes me feel like a woman on the plantation? Bossing around a Negro. And I just got a brand new gun. Ooh, I'm ready to go out. They had those reports about white people snitching about the lockdown. They said people were calling. They had thousands of reports. Like, this wasn't an isolated thing. Thousands of reports of white people calling in. Bob is not staying at home. He's not isolating. He's not social distancing. They said they had lots of reports of that nature. Imagine, got this Negro out here. He's not social distancing or whatever else it is. He's stealing mailboxes, looting, prying open mailboxes so he can steal the packages out of them. Show off my new gun. Got my Sig Sauer. I haven't been able to go to the range because they got the shutdown, but I still want to go out and get it in my hand. Boss this Negro around. I suspect it's quite a bit of that that either could happen, is happening, all of the above. The situation with Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, lots of those. They mentioned Trayvon Martin's. It's tons of those situations. It was one in North Carolina that was similar. That some young children, I think they had a party or whatever, and one of the males, he left and was walking home. I think he walked across somebody's yard or whatever, and a white person killed him. I think that was in like 2015, 2016. You have those incidents happen all the time. Bo Morrison in Wisconsin, I think, was similar. They had a party late at night. He walked across somebody, white person's garage or whatever, and they killed him all the time. Now, all this hyper anxiety and stress and all the rest of it, like, oh yeah, just any excuse, any reason. Mr. Fuller talked about that back in 68 when Dr. King was assassinated. He said he talked to white people on the job who said, oh yeah, we were hoping one of you all would get excited and come over here, call yourselves Ride for the King. Want to try out my new scope? Just got it. That attitude prevails. Lots of new gun owners out here now. Oh, yeah. I'm just itching. That's what they call itchy trigger finger. Just itching for the opportunity to get out here and try my firearm. That was what I thought. Once I was able to kind of get back in the house and process, lock the door and kind of process, like, wow, I am pretty sure that that white fella did not just have a cell phone, because he was so aggressive. Like, he did not, or at least you all can tell me, right? The number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. You all can tell me, but I have never in all my time on the planet seen a situation where someone was at a mailbox. And I'm currently in a house, but I have lived in an apartment. So you have like group mailboxes, right, that are out publicly. I have never witnessed a situation or observed someone where I thought, hey, this is a suspicious dude. I need to go confront them. Like, hey, where do you live? Where's your mailbox key? You got some other, like, I have never had a situation like I wouldn't even know what to look for, like, unless the person had like a crowbar or something and they were like Jimmy. And then if that was what I saw, I would not be, oh yeah, let me go confront this person. I don't have a jail. Like, what am I going to do? I don't have handcuffs. Like, I would just call the police. Like, hey, I think this person might be breaking into the mailbox, had on such and such and such, blah, blah, blah. That's what I thought the logical thing to do was, right? Like, even in the 911 call with Trayvon Martin, right? The killer calls the police. I'm pretty sure that they said, we don't need you to follow. We got it. You called. We will come check it out. I thought that was the procedure, not, I'm going to go confront this. But that's what these race soldiers, when we say white people are dangerous, I almost started today's program with that segment. The program we did a few years back, white people can ruin your life in 5 minutes. White people are so dangerous. You have no idea. Like I said, I don't know. Is this an enforcement officer? They do have black SUVs here in Seattle, I think, and other places. Is this an enforcement officer? Is this just a race soldier, no badge, who's armed, who has a butcher knife, who has other race soldier friends who are waiting out? I'm going to go check him out. The coon gets rowdy. You all jump out. You just have no idea. White people are so dangerous. And after I got back, like I said, I was reflecting on that, like, wow, like, I mean, me saying nothing, because sometimes if you ignore a white person, that'll get them upset too. Like, you know, who is this uppity nigger, you know, think he is? Like, not going to answer me when I'm speaking. You hear me talking to you, boy? You hear me talking to you, girl? You're not going to talk to me? That could be enough, you know, to rile them up. I haven't been in too many situations where it, like, escalates dramatically or dangerously. But generally, that's the course that I take to not say anything. But, I mean, if I had gotten rowdy, who do you think you are? Who are you talking to me? Get away. You know, if it had been something like that, like, man, I suspect this fella had more than a phone. He could have pulled out a gun and bam, that would have been that. I probably wouldn't even got a hashtag. Just been like, oh, that militant nigger, I'm glad he's gone. Caused all that mischief, terrorizing white women at the yoga studio with bricks and all the rest. I wouldn't even have got a hashtag. I could be wrong. That's my suspicion. But I am of the opinion, and I think there's evidence. Ahmaud Arbery, not that I'm into following all these different situations, but I mean, that is what they're talking about. Pick anyone that you like. Trayvon Martin, in many of these situations, in my view, you can even, I forgot the officer who did the barrel roll. Remember that one in Texas, McKinney, Texas, where it was the young black female teenager at the pool, and he was rolling on the ground and all the rest of it. They are not coming, badge or no, they are not coming to these situations with any sort of, I'm looking to de-escalate, I'm investigating. That is not how they're coming to these situations. They're coming to these situations with a black person. I hope this coon gets out of line so I can go upside their head. I hope this coon gets out of line so I can let off a few rounds. That, what my man Norm Stamper say? Get your nigger knocker. That's the way that they're coming. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to get my opportunity to take down this coon. Say something. Oh, you robbing that man? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Say something. that's the way that they're coming to these interactions. And I say that when we talk about being codified, like, man, in this situation, you are not looking to go out and have any sort of verbal altercation with a white person. If they started, if it's a traffic situation, parking situation, they had that one down at Florida. The mindset with any of these should be, man, I am looking to get out of this interaction as quickly as possible, as safely as possible. I am not raising my voice. I'm not yelling. I'm going to talk to this white person as though they might have a gun and or 50 other white people who are waiting to jump out of the bushes, jump out of vehicles, helicopters even, who knows, waiting for me to make a wrong move, or I might not even have to make a wrong move, waiting to jump out and pounce on me. That's the way that we should be there, especially under this crisis situation. I don't know about everywhere in the world. I don't think they allow citizens to have firearms in the way they do. Like, I don't know if they've had a surge in firearm sales in like the UK or France, Nigeria. I don't know if that's the case, you know, everywhere in the world, Brazil. Hopefully we'll be able to check in with some of those folks and we'll see. Here in the United States, oh yeah, you got a lot of armed white people who are angry out on the streets daily with their guns, mad. A lot of white people who at least give the excuse that they're wanting. We don't have any money, can't get our business going, can't take care of our family, or I'm stressed, I got my children home, I don't like being around children all this time, and I got them plucking my nerves around me for the rest of the year, and I'm mad about that, or whatever. It's disrupting me being able to get my Amazon packages and all the rest of it, you know? I like watching the Coons play basketball, and you mess that up. I like calling that Coon LeBron James names, and now I might not have that for the rest of the year. Whatever it is, them being disgruntled, anxious, stressed, or just dedicated to the system, the sickness of white supremacy in this environment, man, you will have a lot of white people where it will be quick to escalate to something hostile and racist against black people. Have that in mind. Like, it's been, they've had these different situations just over social distancing where they had a black female, I think she was like 86, she was in a hospital, and they said she wasn't social distancing, she got close to a white person and the white person like shoved her down and killed her. I think she like struck her head as she fell, the black female. But this just happened the last few weeks ago. Like, the increased hostility is already there. That's like default in the system of white supremacy racism. But these circumstances, expect increased hostility, increased likelihood of violence. Under normal circumstances, you're not looking to get any sort of, you know, yelling, shouting, altercation, threatening a white person. None of that. Planned ignore, like I said, I would have probably just done that, not said anything. But it continued and continued, and he wasn't leaving. Just, hey, man, call the police. That's what, I'm a looter. Yes, I'm a looter. I'm coming for your mailbox next. Yes. Don't say all that. But if that's your conclusion, call the police, right? They have people. That's what they're trained to do. Come get looting niggers. That's what they live for, to stuff the jails with looters like me. So call the police, right? You got me red-handed. Call the police. That's not what they wanted. I want a confrontation. They get excited about that sort of thing. So be mindful, like, tell your children. I think I've been concluding many of the broadcasts over the last month or so saying, you know, hey, I would not be outside after sun goes down once it gets dark. I just wouldn't. I would be very strategic. I think that's the exact word I've been using. I'd be very strategic about where I am. I wouldn't be out at the park and the beach in the evening. I know it's summertime. I know it's spring, about to be summer, and the weather's getting warm. It's warm today here in Seattle. Beautiful day. It's supposed to be in the 80s this week. It's May. You know, that's what's supposed to be happening. All of that said, I would not be out at the park once the sun goes down. Now, if you want to be out, if the park is even open in your area and you can lawfully be there, socially distanced and all the rest of it, fine. But once the sun goes down, I would not be out at the park. I would not be hanging out. None of that. Like, I would be at the house
just is not a time where you want to be out dallying, all the rest. I would try and get my shopping done before it gets dark. I would not want to be stopped and questioned by enforcement officials. Wouldn't want to be questioned by my neighbors or any random white people while I'm, you know, out and about either about are you an essential worker and all the rest of it. Like, I just don't think this is in terms of what happened to me at the mailbox. I don't think that is an anomaly at all. I think that's probably the climate that we're going to be in for the foreseeable future. He, like I said, he didn't say anything to me about the coronavirus. He didn't have a mask on. He didn't have gloves. No concern at all. It was all white supremacy, racism, and standard operating procedure. We got a looting nigra, and I am ready to roll. Might have had backup too. And in fact, like I said, he had a SUV. I believe the windows were tinted. There may have even been another vehicle in the car. Like I said, this wasn't, you know, my plan. I didn't have surveillance. I wasn't watching, sitting on the side of the road watching his vehicle for the first 5 minutes. I was thinking eggplant, going to cook. Let me get the mail. And then he rolls up out of nowhere. So, I mean, it's just so many factors in the system of racism. Just be really, really careful. I would share that if you have offspring and what have you, if you're, you know, essential working and they're chilling at home, going to be at home for the foreseeable future, I would really try to talk to them seriously. This is not a time where you want to be out and about, certainly not, or you want to be out strategically with what you're doing. If you get stopped by anybody, questioned by anybody, take it seriously in that situation, because you just don't know if this person means to harm you, if this person is looking for a violent altercation, whatever they're talking about. Try to maintain distance and choose your words very carefully. If you say anything at all, in many instances, saying nothing is probably going to be the best policy, especially you don't know this person. You never had any interaction with this person. You don't know what their agenda is. In many instances, saying nothing is the best policy. Let me see if I can get out of here, especially if it looks like it's escalating. You know, they're saying nigger, anything that looks like, oh, yeah, this looks like this could go bad in about 30 seconds. Let me see how I can get out of here with that. I don't need to say nothing. There's no saving face. None of that. You're a victim of racism. You're subject to white supremacy. Is no face to save. You just want to try to stay as safe as you possibly can. All of that said, if folks, you know, have any thought, like I said, I don't say that this is the best way to handle the situation. Maybe the best thing to do once somebody comes up and you've been accosted like that, maybe the best thing to do is immediately stop and, you know, either running your, well, I was at the house, it'd be running the house or running your vehicle and leave. Maybe that's what to do. I don't know if folks have, you know, thoughts on the best way to handle it. Maybe you definitely should not say call the police, you know, because like I said, he could have called the police and it could have went way worse. I'm not sure. But I feel like it, at least in this instance, that was where things changed and he began to backpedal and eventually exited from the point where I said call the police. But I hope I shared the logic of why I said that. If I had it to do over again, would I say call the police? Maybe unless some folks have some interesting counter-racist logic as to why that should not be used. I'd probably go with the planned ignoring. And if it's something criminal, you know, you broke into this car or whatever, call the police. Not going to sit here and adjudicate. I'm not going through the citizen's arrest and trying to prove to you and evidence that I didn't do this or whatever the case is. Call the police if, you know, that's your conclusion. I think, at least in my view, that might help circumvent the making it an altercation with this random white person and trying to attack them and, you know, deny their allegations and get into a dispute with them. You're right. I'm a criminal. Call the police. There are people that are paid to handle this, right? That's my thinking, unless folks, you know, see something incorrect about that. The picture, like I said, too, I have seen where sometimes that can't escalate. I did get my phone out and take pictures of his vehicle. Maybe that's not what to do either. Maybe you just memorize the plate. I could have done that and called the police. I don't know. Maybe I should have called the police. I didn't think about that to report the situation, make a report myself of being harassed, checking my own mailbox. that might be a good one too. But if folks have any, I reckon suggestions, if you have a better way of handling that, if you have had to, I guess, stop someone who you thought was breaking into a mailbox, I don't know. Like I said, I've never in my life, I can't even think of a time where I even remotely thought, hey, I think she's trying to break into that mailbox. Like, never, ever, ever. Much less confronted someone. So if you've seen that, if you feel like, oh yeah, that's a normal response, just to make sure that's what a good neighbor does, make sure that this person, please let me know. I'll be set straight. And or if you unfortunately have been stopped, if someone thought you were breaking into the mailbox, you can share about that as well. But the main point, I just feel like the danger, the sickness is racism, white supremacy. And with all of the armed, angry protesting white folks, it just seems like they would be really itching to take out all their frustration on a random black person. Safety. I'll check and see if folks have any thoughts. Make sure, maybe I'm being ignorant. Maybe, you know, folks might have a better way of how you handle, such a situation, and or, critique of my way of handling that situation. Like I said, I don't say that was the best way. I hadn't planned it. My mind was on eggplant, not counter racism. And you know, white people are going to come up and accost me for checking the mailbox here. Let's see. Retired firefighter, any suggestions, reviews? If you've had to attack somebody that you thought was breaking into mailboxes, you can share that too.
Greetings, Mr. Gus T. Renegade.
Yes, sir.
I would say, I am not going to double back and criticize what a victim of racism or white supremacy does to save their own life. I just have a theory, which I think is based on logic. The idea in mind is whatever is considered to be a danger, whether it's a virus, whether it's a fire, whether it's a white person or a black person, is to keep distance. As soon as that person, because I'm pretty sure you picked up on it the moment the vehicle showed up and the white person came out, is to provide distance. Distance of what? Distance that would render you as safe as possible. I am not going to criticize what you said. I would say there is, I don't think nobody can come up with anything that would definitely state, well, that would be the key to that quote unquote lock. As far as what I said, only thing I would say is you'll probably be logical if it's a minimum of what you say. And I certainly don't think the statement called the police was incorrect. But at the same time, as soon as you considered a danger, to keep distance. In other words, if you don't have any borders on you, like a wall or anything like that, just go in that opposite direction from that person the moment that you suspect some sort of potential problem. Walk away with your eyes on that. Was his shirt in his pants?
I don't
recall. Can you recall?
I don't recall.
Okay, well, that's another thing. If the person did not have his shirt in his pants, he probably was armed. You'd probably be surprised of how much of weaponry that a person can carry on them without, you know, no noticeable understanding of it from whoever that weapon is on them, but it's supposed to be against. Just off the mere fact that a person got out of a SUV and approached you, it's potential danger enough. And I don't know if you did or not. You know, I'm not saying you didn't do it. I would immediately start creating more distance. The experts say that the use of a firearm, the logical use of a firearm, is somewhere around 3 to 5 feet. I would increase that distance. I'm not stating about running, literally running, but I'm saying in a casual way to keep the distance between you and that threat. Is what I'm saying. Would be something to do. The less that you do say, I would say that that would be the best policy. And I don't see anything wrong about you making the statement about calling the police. I don't see anything wrong. Facial expression, it should be one of. This may not be a correct uses of words, but an even kind of look on your face, you know, not one of fear or of advert anger, you know, but just, you know, just a look of calmness on your face, looking at person, well, not necessarily looking right at the person, but having a particular look on your face would also probably have some matter of importance. And it's in the, but like I said, the moment that you suspect a danger, not the white guy that you do yoga with, you probably know that person, but this strange white person, I would create distance. Start creating distance, you know, from them. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like the distance. Get distance as quick as or as soon as you make an assessment that they're dangerous. And saying as little as possible. Like I said, I'm a big advocate of, hey, nothing. If nothing needs to be said, hey, zero, little as possible. But as little as you possibly have to say. Like, it's not going to be, especially once you have any suspicion that this might be dangerous. Like, no, this is not the time for, you know, let me give you my speech and views on racism and what I think about white people. And then, like,
right.
Nah, none of that.
Closing the distance would alarm the idea that you are becoming emotional more so than thinking. In other words, you're angry. How dare he comes to me and get out of his car, this honky get out of his car and blah, 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 blah. You know, and you start closing. That's going to render you to do something that you need the most of, which is thinking. We're just thinking and try your best to be as calm in that process as possible. But like I said, if there's going to be any immediate maneuver, and that's creating distance, people who are quote unquote experts in martial arts state that if the best martial art is distance, that's what most of them say that I hear. That's the best martial art. You need to have a black belt in that. It's distance between yourself and that threat. You know, and then, you know, if there's something that you need to do in the aftermath of it, meaning that you witness this person's tag or his identification, then, you know, at the calmness of your apartment or house or whatever that you're allowed to stay in, you call that particular authority and ask questions, you know, as far as they're concerned. That'd be the best thing. Did you read my text?
Let's see.
Did I send?
Looking at the...
It's on BSO Sheriff Gregory Tony. I mean, it's not a.
Oh, okay.
It might be something interesting to read or look at some. I'm not necessarily talking about today, but at some time in the future, It may be something. I got it from Mr. Clark. He sent it to me, so I decided to send it to some other people.
Sad. Yes, we'll have to review victims of racism, but distance. I think that is always spectacular. If it looks like this person is looking for a confrontation. It looks like this could be heading towards something that is not going to be safe for you. Like, yes, distance. See if you can get out of there. I will say this was a little tricky because this fella is at, like, his car is literally parked at the house. So, like, I was thinking, like, I'd be going home, but I'm not really away from you, per se, because you're parked here, like, the most of the time. I would hope you're not being accosted at the place where you're allowed to stay, but Henry Louis Gates, Dr. Cowbell, Henry Louis Gates, that did happen too. So I can't exactly say that that's uncommon. There is no sanctuary in the system of white supremacy, but hopefully most of us will not have too many encounters at your actual residence. So yeah, that would be the place ideally be like, oh yeah, I can get the home base. Not, oh man, the racist.
Yeah, I don't know how far that the place of residence was from that mailbox. But that's where that would be objective number one. But if it's not possible, you know, somewhere else, any, it was doing daytime, right?
Yes, sir.
I think you said. Yeah. If the mailbox area, if his car or his person was not in between you and that place of residence, that's where I would end up being at. He literally would have to have his person in between myself and that place of residence for me not to make that number one. Now, that's not necessarily is the only option, because if he is in between that, then I would create another trail of distance, and then I would start using the cell phone.
You That's know. A good idea.
Or bringing it to somebody's attention. Yeah.
That is.
But
a
anyway.
Good idea.
Just a thought.
Using the cell phone, that's a good idea. It was daytime, like I said, when this happened. Still sunny and everything. So, I don't recall if, like, other people were sitting outside, type of thing, where it would have been easy to go and alert somebody that, hey, you know, this fella is harassing me, you know, can you call the police or witness or, you know, whatever, to get more eyes on what's happening with the situation. But, I mean, it was still sunny, so I don't think it would have been too hard to be able to get somebody else. I had to walk around his SUV to get to the gate. So it wasn't a far walk. And I'm pretty sure, like, when he came over, he pulled his phone, like, what are you doing here? If I had immediately, like, just closed the mailbox, grabbed my packages, groceries, not said anything to him at all, I think I could have just walked around him and went in the house, I think. I think I could have managed that. I don't know. It would have been hard. I would have had to take my eyes off of him. It would have been like having to kind of turn sideways a little bit to kind of look back and then walk so that I could get around his house and then get in to hope that nothing escalates. But I think I could have accomplished that.
Okay. Yeah. Because from a lot of the cases that I have saw or read, or in some cases even came to on an emergency call, the two parties became involved emotionally. Mm. At some point in time, and that's going to compromise the person that is the innocent person, that's going to compromise their position. In other words, when you go from thinking to anger or emotional, you know. And the bottom line is, you want to be able to survive the moment. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. You want to be able to survive the moment. You know, that sort of thing. That's the immediate goal, is to be able to do that. And so, you know, that's just some suggestions. It's distance. I mean, every weapon has a distance. You know, I mean, of course, somebody with a knife, then the distance is a safe distance. It may be less in feet as opposed to a gun, even as opposed to a nuclear bomb, I guess. You probably have to go to another planet. Distance would be my thought on that. And in this case, it's inside that place called a apartment or a house or a duplex or whatever, wherever the name of the type of place that you stay at. That's what I would think. Now whether or not I'll come up tomorrow and make all kinds of worse mistakes, and you have to read about me in the newspaper or something. But that's what I hope I would do. I'll put it that way. Because I have made mistakes also, big time.
Managing those emotions is key. Like I said, you definitely, whatever you do, you want to make sure it doesn't devolve into shouting and yelling at the person and you actually minimizing dislike. I'm going to get up in this person's face and put my finger. Who do you like? You definitely do not. Like I said, you just don't know. Like, I thought he was armed. Like, I don't recall if he had his shirt untucked or what have you, but it was enough that was my thinking was, I think this fella is armed. A lot of white people brag.
It's always good to assume.
Yeah.
It's always good to assume that the person is armed.
Exactly.
Always.
Especially if it's a white person and under these circumstances, like I said, where they're looking for a confrontation. If you have a phone, he could have easily parked his SUV on the side of the road, called the police, boop. He could have gave them an easy, full description. We got this colored fella. It's a white neighborhood. He's over here, Jimmy, in the mailbox. Boom, boom, boom. He could have given the address and everything. It would have been super easy. They could have tracked me down. Whammo. Like, that's A-plus citizen, stopping crime, neighborhood watch. That's not what he wanted. He was looking for a confrontation. That's why I say in those type of situations, you should assume that at minimum, if they're not armed, they are probably more prepared for some sort of violence or escalation than you are, because they instigated all of this. You are out, you know, I am thinking about eggplants. You are doing whatever on the system of racism. They are, colored fella. Let's go get something started. That's what they're thinking. So they're already. And when Dr. Kambaum, he talks about we're at a disadvantage, if you want to even put it in Dr. Welsing chess context, I see the other folks will get their hands. That is white goes first. This was not, I came out with a plan. Oh, yeah, I don't like that, you know, fad down the road there. I'm going to get him. I hate that fella. I'm going to wait till he comes by. I'm going to play like that was not the case at all. He came out with a plan, whether he came up with it 5 minutes ago, 5 seconds ago. He was the one that started all of this. That's why I'd say, oh, yeah, he's probably much more prepared for things to escalate than I am, especially he's coming with aggression. He's not coming in no way. Hey, how you doing? In no way am I thinking you could be a lawful resident who is out here checking your mail on a Sunday evening, up to nothing but good intentions and going in to make a nice meal for the evening. Like, couldn't be that at all. You are some no good Nick, some outlaw Negro defiling our good neighborhood. Let's see. Princess, do you have suggestions? Thoughts again. Now, if any of this is reasonable, if you folks, hey, looting mailboxes is a big problem in our neighborhood, and I have to be mindful and keep an eye out to make sure that my mail doesn't, if that is the case, well, then let me stand corrected. Like, that hasn't been my experience. But if that is, let us know. We'll get that on the record. Princess, line should be open. You should be with us as well.
Good evening. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess it's good to know that you are doing well. Good evening to everyone. I would just say that overall, I think you you know, work through this situation the best we all can under this circumstance. I don't think it was wrong for you to indicate that you wanted to, or you told him to contact the police. In fact, I think I've done that a couple of times just to call white people's bluff. And I think it worked in your favor because I guess I could say from what you described, you were in a more controlled situation. So you already had assessed the level of danger or threat. It wasn't like a situation where you had several police officers responding. So whether you realized it or not, you may have already kind of sized up the situation. And by you saying that, it kind of put the ball in his court, where he would have to, you know, either take you up on that offer or, you know, kind of back down. And I think it kind of worked in your favor. And I can recall an incident that was on the news with, I don't know where it initially took place. It was probably in the Midwest somewhere, where it was a news reporter that was covering a story about the housing market or something, and they had gotten called on by some vigilant suspected racist white person because they assumed that that person was a burglar and this, that, and other. But when they confronted the white person, he was in his car. He or she was in their car or something, and they sat there and they called the police and reported that, you know, someone was breaking into a house and this, that, and another one. In fact, it was just a news reporter covering a story. So, like you said, under any other circumstances, if they were really, truly in the best interest of helping, they don't have to take the law in their own hands. You could simply place a call. Again, you don't hear black people doing any type of vigilante type acts. This is something almost exclusive to white people because they just think that they could just, you know, take the law into their own hands. But I think you handled the situation good, so I'm glad everything worked out.
Trying to get through them safely as best we can. That is always the objective. Try to get through safely. Yeah, that's kind of how I thought of it. Like, hey, you know, let's fast forward. Like, you know, if that's your thought process, that there's criminal activity happening here, what are we supposed to do if there's criminal activity? I thought you're supposed to call the police. Not, I'm going to go out and apprehend the person myself, unless you're an enforcement official, which, like I said, he didn't identify himself. He could have been the SUV and all that. Maybe that did cross my mind. And even after, you know, I had more time to kind of assess and look at his vehicle and everything, could have been. But he didn't identify himself. So, the calling, hey, you think criminal activity is happening? Let's call the police. You know, why waste time? You got a phone? You could do that right now. If you're not going to call the police, well, then, yeah, let's run. Like, we're not playing where you get to be citizen cop, pretend cop, or security for the neighborhood and get to interrogate everybody. Like, you know, either you're going to call the police or, yeah, we're done. Distance, trying to get out of the situation. But, yeah, just trying to safely handle these situations as best we can, using logic, not being emotional, and recognizing danger. Like I said, these folks, when they come, I think, and particularly when they come aggressive like that, like, this is, you know, highly dangerous. Like, recognize that, process it in that manner, like, immediately. This is a highly dangerous encounter, and I'm going to try to extricate myself as, you know, carefully as possible. And they could have backups. Say that, can't say that enough. You never know with white people. They form like Voltron, and that backup could be just random white people who see what looks like a confrontation between a white person and a black person, or as this could have been planned. Like, they could have Bob and Jenny and Roger in the SUV in the back or in other. I mean, you just never know with white people. Like, unless you planned all of this, you got up Sunday morning and took out a pad or took out your tablet and came up with a whole sketch of how you wanted all this to happen and play out at the mailbox. And boy, unless that happened, like, I'm going to try to get myself out of here as safely, quickly as possible. Let's see. The Black African. Hand should be up. Much obliged, Princess. The Black African. Thoughts, commentary. Still looking if any folks, you know, mailbox theft is a problem and you have to do the same thing to make sure people are not running off with your mail. Make sure you speak up. The Black African.
Hey, Gus. Yeah, I guess I haven't noticed any mailbox theft. I've never even thought about, like, when I see somebody at the mailbox, I've never thought that person is stealing, or there's a possibility that that person is stealing. But yeah, it sounds like you came out of a really dangerous situation. Sounds like this person was really determined and dedicated to doing something harmful to you. When I was listening to you, I thought maybe you could have asked him a question, should we call, do you want to call the police or should we call the police? But then when I thought about it more, but then that sort of brings on like a conversation with this person. So that creates more danger. So the statement to me sounds better than a question, because you're sort of like putting the responsibility on that person. You're sort of cutting it off sooner rather than later. I think you did well. I think you did well to come out of that without being harmed physically. Yeah, and that's all I had to share. Thank you.
Much obliged. Much obliged. Yeah, I definitely do not want, you know, we're not looking for a dialogue here. I think retired firefighter said, bettable conversation, like, absolutely. Not looking for long conversation, if anything is going to be said at all. Like I said, my thought process with that was, yeah, let's fast forward things. Like, I'm a looter. You got me. Call the police. Like, unless you're an enforcement officer yourself and you are going to cuff me right now, same thing. We don't need to call the police because they're already here. But other than that, call the police. You got me. That's what's supposed to happen. Not whatever else, whatever you have intended coming up here. Apparently mailbox, if mailbox theft is a problem, make sure you do not, you know, just hang out silently. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Particularly, no spectators. Mailbox theft is a problem. That's something you have to contend with, or at least are mindful about. You keep an eye out. People look like they're lingering too long and don't have a key. I suspect there'll probably be more of these type of incidents. Like people were saying, when I talked to Dr. Rasayan, he was saying that people had gotten to some sort of brawl at the store over items. I guess they were low on insert whatever, hand sanitizer, whatever it was. I suspect there could easily be more of these types of confrontations out in public over anything, just because, you know, you'll have people that are angry, that are upset, that are anxious, stressed, whatever the excuse is, especially if we're talking about racists, whatever the excuse is that they'll use, that there could easily be more of these type of skirmishes. I would say make every effort to avoid them. Like, if you know you're upset, you're having a rough day, things have been rough and all that, fine. As soon as it looks like something is going to happen, I am getting out of here. Like, I am not saying a word. This is not escalating at all, because I could just see a lot of things getting very out of hand.
And I just think you have a lot of folks who this will be justification for things getting out of hand and getting violent, whether it's, you know, with their hands, whether they have a firearm, whatever it is. Like, it'll be, you know, I'm upset and, you know, forget all the word and let's get down. When we're done with the words, let's get to direct violence. It just seems, it feels like it would be more of that. You got white people in the streets with firearms daily across the country talking about they're mad and COVID-19 is a lie and, you know, all the rest of it across the country, to just have armed gangs, hoodlums, where they were storming the Capitol in Michigan, yelling at enforcement officials, like that sort of environment. Like, yeah, I think there's a lot of hostility. So just be mindful of that in any of these confrontations, particularly anything where you didn't start it. This is being instigated. Somebody is coming up and approaching you for any reason, a parking space, or, you know, I don't think you're supposed to be in this area. You know, you're violating social distance. I've seen that too, where they said, you know, there have been a lot of public skirmishes and things over social distancing. Somebody got too close or wanted to castigate somebody because they didn't have a mask on or didn't have gloves on and that sort of thing. Like, planned ignoring. Like, I would not be getting into a debate with somebody about, you know, what you're doing, why you don't have a mask on. Are you innocent? None of that. Like, keep it moving. Keep it moving. That right there, like us sitting there and getting into a long conversation, that's not social distancing right there. We're breathing on each other and everything. Like, I'm not getting involved in any of that. And I think that was even some of the suggestions that were given out when they, some of the media reports, news reports were talking about this. They said, yeah, they would just recommend not responding if someone is trying to, you know, fuss at you about being too close or you don't have a mask on or gloves or whatever, whatever they think it is. Let's see. Six other folks have any comments they want to make sure they get in. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943 pound. Press star 61 if you have suggestions, thoughts, any improvements, ways you think it might be better to handle that sort of situation. Folks have any thoughts, feel free.
Hey guys, quick question. I was wondering, do you have the Nextdoor app?
No. Tell us about the Nextdoor app.
It was a while ago where, never mind. But the Nextdoor app is sort of like, it's like a neighborhood app. It's an app where people in your neighborhood join the app, and it's like a community. Well, the way that they've set it up is supposed to be for like notifications about what's happening in your so-called community, things that law enforcement are going to be doing, events, that kind of thing. But what I have noticed with it is that a lot of people post, let's just say somebody's stole like a package from their house or something like that. They'll show like the video on there, or they will. It's become sort of like a place where I would say like white people and sort of like non-black people sort of just talk about crime or so-called crime. And so like when I got it, I thought it was just going to be just a community kind of thing. That's what somebody had suggested, that you could just learn more about your so-called community, like your neighborhood and events. But it's like, just like, it's almost all about like crime. I see they post images of black males, like walking by their house or like, you know, saying things like, oh, there was this black male that was walking and he had a black hoodie, that kind of thing. So you can like, sort of like gauge what's going on in your neighborhood based off of that, like, and know like certain, you can even know like where in your neighborhood certain things might happen or what people are thinking. It's an interesting app. Just, you can just learn more about just people practicing white supremacy racism in your neighborhood, your specific neighborhood. I think they have some kind of feature that where you're approved to join. I don't know if they use GP. I don't know what they use, but it will know that you're in that exact neighborhood. So, yeah, I don't know if this is relevant for this show, but I thought about it when I guess this person was talking about, you know, about the neighborhood or something like that.
Hmm. Fascinating. I have heard of it, but I do not have that app on my phone. But yes, I have heard about that, and I've heard similar reports that people use that app for white supremacist purposes. Black random black person walking through the neighborhood. I might be on with the mailbox encounter, like, you know, surly Negro does apparently live here, but, you know, he's still a Negro. We'll continue harassing him for, you know, foreseeable future. But yeah, that might be a good piece of information just to check it out to see. Yeah, because he said there's crime in the neighborhood. Like, yeah, maybe they have postings about that. Maybe, you know, there is rampant mailbox theft in the area, or, you know, other forms of crime. Like, that would be good to know. He didn't mention that. He didn't say, you know, you should get on the Nextdoor app and see, you know, we've been posting about it and it's all kind of that would have. Oh, OK. Wow. You're being a good one. He didn't mention that. But yeah, I will check. I will download and see if they have anything posted for the neighborhood. And I'll even see if I'm there. As I said, he did have his phone out, so he might have been posting, you know, looking to have me posted up there as well. But I'm not surprised. Birds chirp. Dogs bark, white people practice racism, white supremacy, Rona or no. Did other folks who are with us have suggestions, thoughts?
Yes. And where I stay at in beautiful Miami Gardens, we have a group text, I think that's basically what it is, a group text that is called Neighbors, that's ran by a non-white black female. It's all on her part voluntary, you know, as far as what she does. And she becomes a person in between the local government, meaning the city of Miami Gardens officials, and residents, the residents that stays in the area where she's at. And we get alerts from her, from those officials, elected officials. And on top of it, the residential gossip that may be in the area, and that may include quote-unquote crime of all different types. One would be surprised on how many people park their cars and don't lock the doors. You know, and so basically someone who wants to take something out of your car, in a lot of cases they don't even have to break your glass. There was an old saying in the fire department, pry before you try. Something like that, some kind of rhyme. In other words, check the lock. It may not be locked, you know, that sort of thing, before you bust the door down, that sort of thing. And basically, in a lot of cases, the person that wants to break into your car don't even have to bust your window. They just open the door because the person would get out their car and don't lock their door, you know, spend their whole time in their house, going to sleep that night and not even locking their door, and they have something of they consider to be valuable sitting right up on the seat of the car, you know, that sort of thing. And so anyway, she would alert the residents, and also it leaves it so you can leave an alert on the texting site also. I think I can recall I reported some white person threatened me in one case, to whereas one of these people knocking on your doors, you know, trying to sell you something that I think is about 75 to 80 years outdated. Basically, he made some sort of comment that I consider to be threatening. according to law enforcement, they don't consider to be a threat, but I do. And being it is involved with me directly, I'm going to assume above law enforcement on that. But anyway, she reported that, you know, and brought that to other people's attention, and all other things that take place in the area where we stay at. She does that a lot. And it's quite helpful. It's quite helpful. It can easily be organized from where you stay at. Something like that can easily be organized. And so that's just an idea. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. I'm going to get the app, the neighborhood app. I see a value in having that sort of information. Nextdoor app. I see a value in having that sort of information, if it's a text, group text type thing, or however it's set up, so that you can be informed about what's happening and if there is crime or whatever else. You know, race soldiers are coming around, you know, door to door and harassing us, you know, about whatever it is. Like, all of that is fantastic. I'm not surprised that something like frequently happens all over the world, something that a great use could, you know, help a lot of folks and share constructive information, ends up being used to enforce, support white supremacy racism, where it just, you know, we're going to post Negroes walking through the neighborhood and all that. But absolutely, like, yeah, something great to use. I'm going to get it, Nextdoor app, and other folks, if they have it, right on. Constructive, and glad he said easy to set up and easy way to share information so that you know what's happening locally, especially these times. Definitely. Person who dialed in, last four digits 5164. Do you have commentary, observations, suggestions? Are they looting mailboxes in your region?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Greetings, everyone. Calling from California. And to answer your question, Gus, from what I see, no. Here in the LA, South LA, South Central area, and everything seems to be very calm here for the time being. I do see more officers patrolling, more sheriffs to be specific. I personally been assigned to work from home, telework, so I get to see a lot of my neighbors a lot more. But to answer your question, no looting going on here at the moment.
Right on. Much appreciate the report from California. We're supposed to be coordinating the reopening of the states with you guys, Washington State and California. Did you have any, I guess, suggestions on the best way to handle those type of confrontations if a race soldier, or I guess it could be anybody else, confronts you out publicly in kind of an aggressive, hostile way, a manner that you deem to be unsafe? Any suggestions on the best way to deal with those situations?
Yes. I personally deal with hostile people by leaving. Yes. Vacating the area. I'm like 5'11", so I work out, so I guess people may not want to have a confrontation with me. Maybe not. But yeah, I don't say much to anyone when I am out and about. But yeah, mainly just that. Keep myself and, you know, keep moving.
Love it. Heard that from several folks. Retired firefighter. Logical, minimal verbal commentary, and then distance. Once you've assessed the situation is dangerous, get those feet moving, get to the vehicle, or vacate that area as soon as possible without a whole lot of conversation. Like, quality. Let's see. Much obliged, good sir. Report from California. Let's see. Isatu should be with us. Did you have commentary, suggestions? If they're looting mailboxes in your area, make sure to share that as well.
No, there's no looting of mailboxes. I thought that was like in the 80s or something like that. But right now, the state is supposed to be opening, Gus, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. This is not a lot of outlets outside of Black Talk Radio and this program that we get an opportunity to speak on. I'm an avid listener of the Tom Hartman program, and I bring him up to say this, that whenever I call into his show, I'm not given the opportunity to actually speak my mind fully. So that's why it's good for this type of platform, because we have a different way of communicating non-white people than they do. And oftentimes I'm not given the chance to actually get my whole point out, even when I'm trying to be concise. So, but anyway, they've been protesting at the Capitol again, because I live in Phoenix. It's the capital of Arizona. I've been here 20 years, and they've been protesting and wanting to open up the state and things like that. Me, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how to regulate my blood pressure, for Pete's sake. But it's interesting, though, because yesterday my job called me, and they said that they have the I work with a temp agency, by the way, because here in Arizona, there are a lot of permanent positions, but honestly, it's I don't know. I think it's the whole politics of being so close to the border and immigration and, you know, the wages being kept so low, and they don't want to pay people properly, because when I was in Nebraska, I didn't get paid what I'm getting paid here, and that was 20 years ago. But my job called me, and they said, we're going to sign you for the payment protection program, I think is what it's called. And are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so one of the conditions of this program is that I have to accept work, whether it's what I was hired for in the first place. So I'm a cook, but in this hospitality temp agency, there's more than just cook positions available. There's dishwasher, there's maintenance, there's sanitation, there's levels to this, okay? But I got hired as a cook. So when I asked my employer, I said, what if you call me for a dishwasher position? Because I don't do dishwashing, you know. And except for at home, but definitely I have my own things. It's like a gag reflex to me. I can't wash anybody else's dishes unless I know them. So it's been like that forever. But she said, oh, well, you would have to take it. I was like, well, but you have not hired me as a dishwasher. You've never paid me as a dishwasher. So in order to get qualified for this program, which means that I would get paid no matter if I get 40 hours a week or not, but at minimum wage until June 16th, okay? That's what the letter said that they emailed me in. And so it was just very complicated to me, and I was just like, well, let me read it and, you know, let me get some research on this. But if anybody has, like, any idea what this they call it paycheck protection program is, I would love to hear some feedback on that, because I've jumped at the opportunity at first in my head, because I have had no income since March 13th. And then at the other side of that, because they already tried to send me into the hospital a month ago, saying I need to get vaccinated, and that was for a dishwasher opportunity. And I was like, I'm not going to take that, you know, and I told them that. I said, you know, I don't do dishwashing, and not only that, I don't want to be around people's saliva, and whether I have a mask on or not, it's just beyond gross to me. And, that, you know, I'm not knocking dishwashers, because we got some great dishwashers out there, but especially under this, and then they're saying I'm only going to get minimum wage. And it was just, I don't know, it's really odd to me, and I'm very confused about this situation. I'm still looking for work, and I'm thank you for everybody that gave input last time I called in, because I have followed up with that. And that's pretty much it, guys. Those things have been going on around here in Arizona, and I just needed some feedback if anybody had any. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, Isatu. Neutralizing workplace. Something stuck in my throat. Neutralizing workplace racism. Neutralizing workplace racism every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, where we try to resolve exactly those type of problems, or at least help with a little bit more information. Now, I will say on this program, I do try to be pretty consistent about being on topic with things. I'm always open for workplace racism, but I do try to be on topic. Like, we were talking about something specific, and this is not really related to that, even though this is important. So I'll see if we have feedback, but that is something I am consistent about on this broadcast. Like, I don't know if that's the case with some of the other programs, but I do try to get folks to be on topic with what the theme is that we're on. I am not off, because I didn't come prepared to talk about the Paycheck Protection Program, so I'm not qualified to speak about the ins and outs of that program, although I have read a little bit about it. But yeah, I'm not qualified as an expert to know all the ins and outs about how it works, and then the specifications that you have to take, anything, any sort of work that they offer in order to qualify for the program, to make sure that you maintain your income. I will do more research in preparation for Friday to ask again to see if folks know anything Friday, and even see if maybe some folks are prepared by then. Just offhand, folks that are listening, any folks knowledgeable, done research or any work with the Paycheck Protection Program? Might be a little bit of homework for all of us. Take a little time. As I said, Neutralizing Workplace Racism, that's on Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I will take some time to research that program just to see about some of the details in terms of the requirements. Like, if you were not hired to be doing dishwashing, and now they're saying that that's a part of the program, and, you know, they tried to get you to do this dishwashing before, and now they're going to be bringing that up again. Like, oh yeah, you got to do, like I said, I'm not familiar with the details of the program, but yeah, that's one, like, where I regularly recommend with workplace racism, if they have a manual, or if they even have it online, like, all of the, what are all of the details? Let's read all the regulations and go point by point to see what it says for yourself. Cause they might sometimes they will take one bit of information, they'll tell you like what's on page 12. They won't give you all the information that's on page 13, 14, 15, etc. So I would read, if you can get it, if you can go online or what have you, read as much as you can so that you know all the details, and then you can go back and ask questions. That'll be something I can do. Make sure I read that before Friday. And that way you can put yourself in a position to be able to ask better questions about this program. And if it's such a short period of time, and see, that's one thing, like, just the time frame. Like, if this is going to end on June 16th, like, wow, like, is this going to be worth it? And that time frame, like, yeah, once you have more details about it, I suspect that'll help you make a more informed choice about how you want to proceed with all this. But yeah, that's what I'll do between now and Friday. I'll do a little more digging on the PPP program. PPP, and see what the details are of it are, and then based on what you shared, see if I have anything cogent to offer for Friday. Double checking just to make sure any folks aren't familiar offhand, PPP program. Lots to learn with the new system. They got new guidelines and all of that. I do regularly recommend being up to date with policy and procedure and all that, but we'll check in again with that on Friday, see if we are improved, and or see if the folks on Friday, if some of them are a little bit more informed about that program. Do we have any other suggestions just on the hostile confrontations? Just make sure we're all satisfied. Any other suggestions on dealing with that? Thoughts, best way to handle that without
it escalating so that you can get out of it as safely as possible? Grant, as I said, just assuming if it is a white person, if they're coming with some hostility in any way, shape, or form, I would immediately ratchet that up, take it seriously as something dangerous, and try as best you can, regardless of what they say, to process and figure out what you want to do using logic. Try not to get emotional. You can be upset about it. I was not pleased about, being accosted at the mailbox. That is something to be upset about. But in the moment, you want to try to use logic as best you can so that you can, get through that safely, be able to check your mail if you got any goodies or what have you, but try to get through those type of situations and just recognizing it is a very dangerous planet right now for a lot of reasons. Quote Mr. Andrew Young again, the sickness is white supremacy. No doubts. We will be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the book club, session number 5, Dr. Layla Africa, Nutritional Destruction of Black People. We're kind of at the end of chapter 2, basically. We'll go into chapter 3 tomorrow. And then Friday we'll be here. Already know one topic, Paycheck Protection Program for this Friday, neutralizing workplace racism. Hopefully by then, see if I have anything cogent to offer with Isatu's situation and what other folks are dealing with, trying to stay safe, trying to stay employed, trying to maintain some hours and benefits and what have you with their work situation. That's Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Compensatory call-in is this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then, as I said, irregular time next Tuesday, I believe that's May 12th, Toyin Agbetu, he is in London, England. He should be with us next, I guess it's afternoon, so it'll be 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, next Tuesday, the 12th, talking about how they have responded to the coronavirus situation in the UK, how it's impacting black people there, what his observations, suggestions are. Be looking forward to checking in with him next week. As I said, I think it is important being able to study what's happening globally, since folks are responding around the world, that might put us in a better position to make intelligent choices about what's happening and what we can do. Try to keep ourselves safe, folks that we care about, maybe even are responsible for, keep them safe as well. But that's next week. Loving talking to folks. Racism, white supremacy is global. Always good to keep that in mind. Expand the dialogue. Any other folks, comments, observations they wanted to make sure they get in before we wrap things up, call it a broadcast?
Gus, can you hear?
Yes, sir. Caller in California.
Yeah. I want to inform the listeners, if they were not aware, that if you have a Cash App app, that you are able to also buy stock. And considering the situation, a lot of stocks are down. So if you want to purchase something in an airline or a theme park, it might be a good time. But that's about it. Thank you.
Great suggestion. I know some other listeners had similar thoughts that a lot of stocks are down. So if you are able, if you're in position, might be a great time where you can rack up, make some investments, improve your situation financially. Folks were talking about that back in March, so absolutely take advantage. Be really great if we had known about all of this in advance. Been like, Senator Burr and the white woman down in Georgia. I forgot her name, which is bad because she does not get mentioned, but she's accused of doing the same thing, like moving and making all these stock deals like in the weeks and months before all of this got really bad in the U.S., where she profited substantially. It looks like from having some sort of insider trading, I think they call that, supposed to be criminal activity. They didn't treat her like the fella treated me at the mailbox, going and running up on, what are you doing? Where'd you get that information? Full interrogation. But yeah, Excellent suggestion, sir. Invest if you can. Cash App makes it easy. Do some research, I reckon. If you have any free time, I know we have a lot of essential workers, but if you got some free time, you can make that a part of your research while you are at home. Anything else folks need to make sure they share? We'll assume folks are satisfied. Much obliged for the participation, folks who came in with their suggestions, recommendations. Appreciated. Take it seriously. The virus and white people, take them seriously. They can do a lot of damage. Again, if you are out, if you get confronted, just do as best that you can. You're not even, in my view, I wouldn't even really be too focused on saying a whole lot. It would really be more about getting myself out of here, out of this situation as quickly as possible so that I can get someplace safe. As I think retired firefighter said, if it's you're trying to get to like your vehicle or your residence and it's blocked, like the hooligans, race soldiers, whatever it is, they've kind of blocked the path or it looks like it's going to be difficult. If it's daytime, if you can get to another safe location, if you can get other folks involved to witness or call enforcement officials or what have you so that you have some help in dealing with the matter, that is great. But take it seriously and keep in mind, even if you only get confronted by one white person, they easily could have enforcements. Just keep that in mind. You have no idea if this is some sort of trap that has been launched for you or what you're dealing with, if this is just being randomly sprung on you. So the main objective, safely escape this situation as quickly as possible. That should be the thinking and not responding with emotion. I don't need to show these folks up. I don't need to call them any names or respond, any of that. No responding with emotion. I'm just trying to get out of here. I'm just trying to get out of here as safely as I can, as quickly as I can. Hope these folks aren't armed, but they might be. That's it. Thanks again for the folks tuning in live or archived. Hope it was worthy of your Wednesday evening under quarantine disrupted. You could have been watching Netflix or, you know, whatever else it is. I will say it again, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We want to preserve our brain computer. Man, you never know when you are going to be sprung into some sort of situation where your brain has got to get working, might have to save your life in processing what's happening and threat level and all the rest of it. You never know. So since that is the case, man, preserve that brain computer. Take care of your health. Sobriety is best. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled. Say it again. Really shouldn't be doing a whole lot of going out. We're still, you know, under restrictions here in Washington State. I think that's the case for a lot of folks in many other areas. Man, it should be very strategic about where you're going. This is not the time for joyriding. Planning, thinking in advance. Where am I going? Do I really need to go right now? Is it something that I can wait until it's daylight to get this done? I just don't think it's safe to be going out willy-nilly. You have a lot of armed, angry, anxious race soldiers who are excited about the prospect of using their new firearm. That right there is a deadly combination. I would just be very strategic. I'm not looking to be hanging out late at night or anything like that. If I'm going out, I'm going bang, going to work. I'm going out, bang, going to the store. I'm, you know, very direct, very precise about what it is I'm going to do. This is not just aimlessly chilling outside. It is just not that time right now under these conditions. I'm not trying to be in contact unnecessarily with race soldiers, badge or no. If you are going to go out, you are sober, you are buckled, and if you're driving, You are not on the cell phone. Same premise, really. Minimize contact with race soldiers. Badge or no, under these conditions, we do not want any lame excuse. Saw you on the phone there. Where that? Nah, I got to be pulled over. And where's your essential worker paperwork? Where's your mask? And, you know, all the rest of it. Not on the cell phone. We should have a lot of time where we can casually put our feet up from our residence and, you know, text away or whatever else we got to do. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.